to admit something that's a little bit embarrassing, and I think Reese can confirm this. Was I not just dancing to this song?
We both were. I think everybody in their car dances to this song every single time it comes on. You can't help it.
I feel so self-conscious and awkward. I don't know why I was.
I mean, maybe you couldn't. You could have done the hands up kind of thing.
It was back and forth. I was swaying, and I'm like, "What am I doing?"
You had your hands up too, buddy. Don't lie.
Oh my goodness, Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Hey, I was swaying a little bit too. I just never admitted it before now.
No, my favorite part. Oh, you do more than that. I've seen you rap. But you are the master of the not saying anything as a comment. And I will take that, certainly. Hey, let's talk about some good things here. Well, I guess first of all, before we get to any of that, anything? It seems like we've been pretty quiet. Am I wrong?
Yeah, for a few weeks. You're not wrong.
I'll take it. Hey, good. That's A plus. We're done. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, obviously we've got this new cruiser, the number 6 cruiser in honor of Captain Coos, decked out in Blue Angels colors. This has been coming for a little while. You've been trying to put this together for a little while, right?
Yeah, it was actually a year in the making. It started, the idea came to be about a year ago, and it took that long to get permission through the DOD, the Navy, and there were a lot of moving parts in there, a lot of people involved in making this happen, and we wanted it ready for the air show. That was the goal, and we just got the Tahoe in, and a lot of people jumped on board. Wayland Engineering with the light system that was donated, they got to work really quick, and then the Cool Graphics got the wrap done just in time, so we really got lucky on the timing.
Is this going to be a regular runaround? You might see it going around town, or is this going to be at special events only?
Both. You know, okay. We're not going to use it for patrol use. We're going to use it for recruiting. It'll be in parades. It'll be at special events and things like that. But it is fully equipped. If it needs to go to work as a police vehicle, it can certainly do it at a moment's notice. But that's not its intention at this point.
I'm just imagining many people who might see this running around town and think to themselves, oh, it's worth getting pulled over for that. You know, like, I'm going to speed right now. I'm going through that stop sign right now in order to make this happen. So maybe that's – is there anything other than the exterior? It's not special in any other way, though, right? It doesn't have any special capabilities, Mach 1, anything like that?
No, it doesn't fly or anything like that. Oh, it's just a regular police Tahoe.
Did you race it against the Blue Angel in trials at the base?
We tried. We asked for permission. We didn't get it. But they were, you know, the Navy was very accommodating the day that we shot the video out there and let us get next to the jet. And, you know, I pulled up next to it and they said, now you can get a little bit closer. And they were very accommodating for us to be able to film that video.
Very good. And just again, just to button all this up, no jet assist, right, on the Tahoe? It's
not yet.
Oh. Thank you. I love it. Oh, you should definitely have smoke, though. Well, probably not for safety. Well, I move
well,
on.
Well, when, right, when that rear hatch comes up while it's driving, just back away.
I love it. In other fun news this week, how many officers managed to hit the deck pursuing this pig? Do we have a count? Like, because I saw some photos of people trying to get this pig the other day. Nobody got hurt, right?
I don't believe so. I think a member of the animal control took a pretty good dive, but you know there were officers there, there were citizens there, and animal control was there. But you know our goal, we were not trying to harass this pig, but we were trying to keep her. It was a female. We were trying to keep her off of Garden Street because there was a heavy morning traffic, and we were trying to keep her off Garden Street, trying to keep her north of Garden until animal control could arrive. So that's why it's, you know, otherwise we were just letting her walk around up around north end of Spring Street.
So as is often the case, you were trying to save lives, right? I mean, pig lives in this case, but you're still trying to keep the pig alive, obviously, was the goal, not to have it be a...
Yeah, if that pig would have ended up on Garden Street, all kinds of things could have gone wrong. Mm. So that was our goal.
And did you ever find the owner? Did we ever return it to its home? Her home?
I don't know. I know it's in the capable hands of the animal shelter, and I don't know what happened to her from there.
All right, very good. There was an article, a good article in the Pensacola News Journal about UWF doing virtual training. They've got one of these simulators for, you know, shoot, don't shoot kind of encounters where you see somebody and they talk to you and then you have to decide at what point do you escalate or not. And they were talking about this training being done for UWF police officers. I seem to remember, correct me if I'm wrong, did not, maybe it was Chief Leiter even, when he was chief, went with Grover Robinson to this the county commission asking for money to fund a PPD trainer, and there was some conversation about, well, would ECSO be allowed to use it or not? Do you guys, I mean, Milton has one. Do you guys have a trainer like this?
Not at this point. I don't know where the where we are in the talks with possibly getting one. But I do know that we certainly would need something like that. Anytime you can do virtual reality training like that, where seconds, you know, milliseconds matter, is something that we certainly would embrace.
Now, and do you have a? I mean, do you use UWFs? Do your officers in training get any access to a VR simulator like this?
We haven't been out there at this point, and again, I don't know if that's something that could happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I certainly would I think all of our agencies ought to have them, or at least have access to them. It doesn't mean everybody has to have their own, but, you know, you guys could certainly, I assume, share one with ECSO. But it's a great tool. And I remember it came up in the conversation with COVID, because this would be a way to train in a way that wouldn't endanger anybody, because they wouldn't have to get close to real people. That was the other advantage of it when COVID was more of a concern. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about is there's been a push on, I think, is it Philadelphia? I think that Philadelphia has now gone to a policy of not pulling anybody over for low-level traffic offenses. They did some study, and they determined that that was more likely to be used against minority drivers, and there was a concern about that. And they say that, you know, those level of offenses, I guess, are not that significant anyway. Now, PPD, you guys do a really robust job of tracking to make sure that there's no disparity being applied. But you guys, have you had conversations about whether low-level kinds of traffic violations might just get a pass?
No. If it's on the books, if it's against the law, then we must enforce it, and that's what we're going to do.
And is that because the violation itself, or is that because you also know that the violation itself is justified and subsequent investigations so frequently turn up other collateral criminal activity of some kind? I mean, I know this is a key law enforcement technique, but you tell me.
Again, if we see a vehicle committing a moving offense or there's an equipment violation, then we have the right and the duty to stop that vehicle. You know, and a lot of times those don't end up in citations and arrests. They end up in verbal warnings or written warnings, something very simple, especially equipment violations. You know, get that fixed, bring it to the PPD, and let us see that you fixed it, and that's it. That's as far as it goes.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Obviously, we know there's a big weekend coming up out on the beach for the Blue Angels Air Show being held, homecoming at the beach rather than being held out at the base. Anything PPD is doing to prepare for this, whether it's, you know, bridge observation for traffic management or anything else?
Well, we're on the bridge pretty much 24 hours now anyway. We will be that weekend. We just want people to be patient going across the bridge. Remember that traffic's going to get heavy. Just be patient, leave early, and watch the roundabout. If you're going to use the roundabout, you know, a lot of people, we haven't had any issues with it. People are going around it slowly. It's still something strange to a lot of folks. So, yeah, we'll just normal operations pretty much for us.
And if you ever get stuck on the roundabout, because you can just keep turning left as long as you like, but if you ever do get stuck, just pick one and go right. You'll be fine. you'll get out.
Yeah,
of
there should be a big bend right there somewhere.
There's a fair number of exit opportunities. All right, last thing that I wanted to do, this is kind of our cop myth segment, and it has to do with how frequently police officers actually fire their weapons. I was just reading yesterday, the Florida Institute for the Florida Sheriff's Association just came out with a report entitled How Florida Sheriffs React to Violent Encounters. And part of the point of that is to show that, you know, if there were 1,000 incidents where they could be justified in using deadly force, they only use it like 7% of the time, that they really under respond to violent threats rather than the portrayal as over response. But my question for you is, the picture you get from the media, and I mean like, you know, television, movies, and whatever, is that cops are always drawing their guns and they're always shooting their guns. And pretty much probably every cop shoots his gun at a suspect or her gun at the suspect, you know, probably what, like once a month, something like that. So in reality, how often do police officers actually fire their weapon?
In reality, it's highly likely that you will go through a 20 or 25-year career without ever firing your weapon in the line of duty. You know, like you said, you see it on TV all the time. It makes it, people think and believe that it's done very often when, in fact, that couldn't be any further from the truth. And the reason for that is training. You know, we are ready. The officers draw their weapons often because of being ready, because of training. But there's so many ways to get out of the situation without using it. And a lot of that, again, is training, is talking the suspect into putting down his weapon or calming him down. There's no reason to go to deadly force when the officer, a lot of times when the officer certainly would have been justified. And again, that's all good training.
And that's, you know, it's something that, again, people tend to associate gun and cop so tightly because it's what you so often see. But the reality, as you say, is that the gun is the last resort, and often, even though justified, wouldn't be the one you would use because it may not be the best solution to the problem, whatever the problem is, right?
Exactly. There's other solutions, you know, especially, again, using your brain, talking your way out of that situation, getting the person to calm down. And then, of course, we have the taser, which is a wonderful tool that's come out that's been used that saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, and I think in the report, I was just trying to find it to verify the number. What I remember reading in the report is they said 25% or less of all cops will ever fire their gun in the line of duty. Is that match up roughly with your perception?
Well, you know, I would have to speculate, but I believe 25% is actually high, but it seems high to me.
I gotcha. All right, very good. Well, that's what I thought, and that's kind of surprising to people because they think, you know, yeah, I always guns blazing. No, exactly not. Kind of like their misconceptions about SWAT, too. Mike Wood, thanks so much for the time. As always, we look forward to seeing that cruiser out on the beach and when we can around town as well. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Thank you.